Temna zvezda. Oddaja o filmu in skritih straneh filmskega vesolja. Vsak prvi in tretji ponedeljek v mesecu ob 8:30 zvečer.
Drage poslušalke in poslušalci, danes času in časom primerno bo temna zvezda minevala v znamenju Unheimliche Roberta Morgana, čigar dela smo si med drugim lahko ogledali na 12. mednarodnem festivalu animiranega filma Animateka. O Robertu bo razmišljal Robert, pa ne Morgan, ampak Koret, pa ima prisluhnimo.
I always get surprised that there's not more.
Če bi David Lynch in David Cronenberg imela otroka in če bi ga v varstvo prepuščala stop motion bratom McQuay, bi najbrž dobili nekaj podobnega Robertu Morganu, enemu od letošnjih petih žirantov animateke. Zdi se, da Morgan z nečim v svojih filmih zna pritiskati na prave gumbe. Če bi strnili komentarje na njegov najbolj znan film Bobby Yeah, ki je bil nominiran za BAFTO za najboljši kratki animirani film, bi šli nekako tako. Ne razumem te ogabnosti, ampak ne moram je nehati gledati. In prav sočasna pojavnost odbijajočega in privlačnega, gnusnega in zapeljivega je nekaj, kar nas žene v to, da težko pogledamo stran od njegovih filmov. Občutek Unheimliche, torej strahu, groze, nelagodja pred neznanim, naj bi bil eden od najbolj standardnih elementov hororja. Horor je žanr, v katerem se najbolj izrazi ta nedomačnost, ki navidezno biva izven človeka, a ki je tako strašljiva ravno zato, ker se vedno izkaže za človeka v sestavni del. Unheimliche je občutek, ki ga je Freud imel, ko je na vlaku videl tujca, kako vstopal njegov kope, a se je na to zavedal, da je videl le lasten odsev ogledalo. Strašljivost tujosti je toliko močnejša tudi zato, ker se pojavlja v nečem, kar naj bi bilo domače. Unheimliche je trenutek krize razuma, ki ne more dojeti, kaj se dogaja. V 70-ih je japonski robotik Masahiro Mori raziskoval, kako se ljudje odzivajo na nežive entitete. Postavil je tezo, da robot povzroči odpor oziroma gnus od človeka v tistem trenutku, ko mu postane preveč podoben, ko ga je torej že skoraj nemogoče ločiti od pravega človeka. Pojav je imenoval Uncanny Valley oziroma srhljiva dolina. In podoben pogled ima Robert Morgan na sam medij stop motion animacije.
I always get surprised that there's not more kind of horror in stop motion animation. Because to me it's like really obvious that it's an art form that is inherently uncanny. Mm-hmm. You know, that you're bringing a kind of dead thing to life. It's kind of, I've always found it a bit creepy, you know, mm-hmm. the way that stop motion characters move, even when they're not supposed to be creepy. Mm-hmm. So, but I was also, I was into horror movies, but I was also into that kind of stuff, more arty mm-hmm. horror. But I'd never seen it done in animation before, in stop motion. Mm-hmm. For me, that stop motion animation is uncanny, immediately. And I think the way I try and push that is by making puppets that's why I make puppets that are maybe too close to reality to be comfortable. That's why I use silicone rubber mm-hmm. to create a real physical.
It's a very fleshy.
Fleshy. So they look like they could be alive, and yet they're just not quite at mm-hmm. that point. And when you see them animated, they're moving in that very slightly unnatural way that stop motion has. And yet they look like they would bleed if you touched them, so they look organic. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's the tension. That's where it is. It's a, it's a, it's familiar because it looks organic mm-hmm. and real, but it's unfamiliar because it has this strange, dead, mm-hmm. slightly unnatural way of moving. Mm-hmm. You know? And so that's, to me, that's, in my work, that's where it is. Mm-hmm.
Kaj pa so prednosti obraza lutke pred obrazom človeka?
I think it's the, for me, it's the lack of, it's the stillness, the mm-hmm. lack of expression. So I'm very particular about, I don't make puppets that can pull loads of faces and stuff and, you know, sort of do all that, because I think it's more interesting if you project, the audience projects the feeling onto it. And that's, the audience is engaged in that way and they're projecting onto it, depending on the, sometimes it's the angle, like the puppets I make, I sculpt the expressions of the faces are very, very, I spend a long time getting the expression right. And it's an expression that can carry a film, really. That's really what I'm aiming for. So that depending on how you look at it, you can read different feelings into it. Mm-hmm. And depending on the context and the point in the story, you'll look at that face, which is the same face all the way through, and at certain points you'll project a different emotion onto it.
Freud razlaga Unheimlich tudi tako, da ga postavi v pozicijo proti Heimlich. Heimlich referira na hišo, prijateljsko, znano, varno in posledično na intimno, torej privatno, tudi skrito. Tako Heimlich odkriva dvoje pomeno, domače in skrito. Unheimlich je tako negacija Heimlicha obeh pomenih. Je nekaj, kar je nedomače, neznano, neprijetno in obenem, ali pa prav zaradi tega ne več skrito, ampak javno. Torej nekaj, kar je za nekoga domače in zasebno, postane za nekoga drugega tuje in ne več skrito, temveč odkrito, zato Unheimlich. Tak pomen Unheimlicha ima že ugrajen zunanji pogled. Pogled v intimni svet nekoga drugega, sicer nikdar ni pogled na nedolžno sceno, ki se ne bi strukturirala za noben zunanji pogled, a je vseeno pogled na nekaj, kar naj bi pred njim ostalo skrito. S pogledom drugega znano dobi zadah tujega, neprijetnega, neznanega. Nekaj lahko Unheimliche postane šele v tistem trenutku, ko vključimo pogled zunanjega drugega na situacijo. Freud omenja Schillinga, ki pravi, da se ta dvojnost lahko nanaša na vse, kar bi moralo ostati skrito, pa se je znašlo na odprtem, pred pogledom drugega. Zunanji pogled na prizor, ki bi moral ostati temu pogledu skrit, pa učinek Unheimlicha povezuje tudi z voajerizmom. Morgan v svojem diplomskem delu Moški v levem spodnjem kotu fotografije recimo uporablja podoben prijem kot David Lynch v Modrem žametu. Z likom voajerja še bolj poudari voajerističnost gledalca, da je ta udeležen nekje, ker ne bi smel biti udeležen. Čeprav je seveda jasno, da noben film ni bil še nikoli posnet zato, da ga nihče ne bi videl. Voajerjev pogled od zunaj na neko sceno tej isti sceni daje popolnoma drug ton, spremeni njeno atmosfero. Dokaz za to, da je voajer gledalec udeležen ob nečem, kar bi moralo biti skrito pred njim, je ravno Unheimlich občutek, ki ga ima ob gledanju nečesa, kar udeležencem Unheimlich občutka ne sproža. Obenem pa je to trenutek, ko Morganov gledalec postane nujni in sestavni del filma. Morganov stop motion body horror namreč ne učinkuje podobno na gledalca in na like v njegovih filmih. Z drugimi besedami, gnus telesnih transformacij in deformacij lahko ostane prihranjen le za gledalca. Zdi se, da je to odvisno predvsem od človeškosti lika. Ali je lik dovolj človek, da je sposoben zaznavati občutka Unheimlich? V njegovem prvem filmu Paranoid iz leta 1994, stop motionu, kjer junak po noči ne more spati zaradi občutka tesnobe, se ta v nekem trenutku zbudi povsem pokrit z ličinkami. Ličinke tu proizvajajo občutek neprijetnosti in tesnobe tako gledalcu kot junaku. Če so ličinke tu še nekaj grozljivega, pa so že v njegovem naslednjem filmu, 3 leta mlajšem moškem v levem spodnjem kotu fotografije, za moškega nekaj posem domačega in prikliče Unheimlich k večjemu gledalcu, ne pa več samemu liku. Ličinka na človeškem liku ne pomeni več tesnobe, nekaj nenaravnega, odvratnega, ampak ravno nasprotno. Pomeni nekaj naravnega, domačnega, celo hotenega. Unheimlich, ki sta si ga prej delila gledalec in lik, se zdaj v celoti prenese na gledalca. Lik v stop motion, Paranoid in moškem v levem spodnjem kotu fotografije sta oba človeka, a vseeno slutimo razliko v stopni človeškosti. Kljub temu, da se lik v moškem v levem spodnjem kotu fotografije nikoli ne preobrazi v žuželko, nam je njegova žuželčja narava vseeno jasna. V predalu ima ličinko, ki jo skrbno hrani z mesom, njegove stene so povsem oblepljene z nekakšnimi kokonskimi preostanki, pa še žensko se lahko združi šele takrat, ko jo s pomočjo ličinke spremenil nekakšnega križanca med človekom in žuželko. Neprijetni Unheimlich izvira iz dejstva, da gledamo like, ki niso ne posem ljudje, ne posem žuželke, ampak so oboje. Gledalca straši njihova zabrisana človeškost, njih pa to ne more več strašiti. Če je v Paranoid pogled gledalca potrjeval občutje lika, pa gre v moškem v levem spodnjem kotu fotografije pogled gledalca na vzkriž z občutjem lika. Sentiment gledalca in lika se v Paranoid ujema, sentiment gledalca in lika pa gre v moškem v levem spodnjem kotu fotografije na vzkriž, k čemur pripomore tudi glasbeni kontrast, ki ga izvede Morgan in ki zopet cikne na Linčev prehod iz komada Blue Velvet na gomazeče ščurke. Iz romantične popevke That's For Me preseka abstrakten, vibrajoč, veliko bolj temačen zvok, ki postavi piko na združitev človeka z žuželko. Kot da bi moral gledalca opomniti, da se ne more prepustiti skoraj da romantični sceni, ki se je zgodila na jasnem polju med človekom in žuželko. Liki sami namreč za Unheimliche ne premorejo več senzorjev, ker so se odmaknili od človeškega živalskemu. Koliko zavesti in samozavedanja pa po Morganovem mnenju premorajo njegovi liki, kako pomemben je za njih jezik.
I can't think of what they'd say really. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to think of them as they're very quite basic organisms, you know. They're not very sophisticated. Mm-hmm. They don't really think intellectually about things, you know, so I don't think there's really anything for them to say. I think it's, and also I just prefer when I watch films, I like seeing I like it. You know, I don't really like films where a lot of the information is coming through what people say, mm-hmm. and it's like you're just listening to the plot, you know, or listening to the characters, and you're understanding them because of what they say. And I'd much rather watch them and observe them and understand the characters through what they don't say. I mean, I'm talking about like live action films, even, mm-hmm. where I think people talk too much. I think what's not said is more. Well, as important as what is said, where it's the silence that's where you really get to know a character and you can observe them. So I always like that in films anyway, just as a taste thing. So I think I'd rather just watch the characters. You then have to do a bit of work to figure out how they're feeling, and you're not just being told all the time. Like, you know, it's just, and it's related to the facial expressions as well. Mm. Not having facial expressions, so you have to really watch it to figure out how the character's feeling, but. I think that's more interesting. I think they are maybe a little. They're aware of themselves, but mm-hmm. they're not very evolved. Mm-hmm. They're quite animalistic. Mm-hmm. You know, they're quite basic in the way that you know.
Primordial.
Yeah, yeah. They're existing in a very simple state. So the idea of them sort of talking, then you have to kind of decide what accent do they have? Then means okay, so it sort of starts to is he from Manchester? And that's going to have an effect on it. So mm-hmm. it's better to just leave it. You know, it's like it's the world that they come from. They don't really talk. You know.
Nek manko človeške zavesti, samozavedanja, razvitosti likom torej onemogoča, da bi videli Unheimliche, kot ga vidi gledalec. Morgan uporablja standardne elemente hororja, ki jih filmski teoretik Noel Carroll opisuje kot nečiste. Liki so ustvarjeni iz različnih kombinacij neskladnih prvin. Skupaj se spojita dve kategoriji, ki sicer obstajata v dualnem nasprotju in ustvarjata razliko, naprimer ženska, moški, človek, žival, znotraj, zunaj. Tako se iz nasprotnih kategorij, ki omogočajo neko lagodnost, to je definiranost v svetu, rodi nova kategorija, ki vpelje nelagodnost, to je nedefiniranost. Umestnost, naprimer človek žuželka, povzroča tesnobo, saj ni mogoče jasno opredeliti. A svojo neumeščenost je ne strašijo toliko po svojem svetu, ampak se bolj zdi, da strašijo gledalca. Morganovi filmi včasih delujejo kot nadrealistična telovadba. Pritlikavec zajčimi ušesi, od katerega na to ostane le še glava, iz katere rastejo hobotničaste lovke, črv, ki mu iz glave rasejo nohti in ki izvali jajce, mačka, ki ljudem krade dele telesa in se spreminja v človeka, ženska, ki med nogama zraste ogromen žuželčji zadek, človeško telo s ptičjo glavo in ogromnim prstom na mesto penisa, škorpion s prstom na mesto žela. Katero bitje pa po Morganovem najbolje dopolnjuje človeka?
My personal favorite is one of the best things in the world for me is a human with a bird's head. That's just brilliant. I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I just think it's a really satisfying combination. I don't know what it is. Because I've got this book called Extraordinary Chickens,
mm-hmm.
which is it's just a photography book of just absolutely amazing looking chickens.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about I think it's the way the birds' heads move or something.
Okay.
They're very like.
It's a bit stop motion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not smooth. It's
they're very busy. They're very like. It's like they almost seem really nervous. They're just looking around all the time. And I think the idea of quite a still body, human mm-hmm. body, but with this head that's just like looking around all the time. I think it's just a combination of just the bird. You've got the birdness of the bird, and you've got the humanness of the human, and mm-hmm. those two things clash. It's a bit like with the cat with hands in a way. It's like the cat is very cat-like, but the hands are very hand-like. You know, and it's two separate things that don't belong together. But when they come together, they create this third thing, which is, again, I suppose, an uncanny thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dissonant.
Yeah.
And also, a bird's body with a human head's pretty good as well. There's a book by Max Ernst, a collage book, do you know it? And Semaine de Bon. A Week of Kindness.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like a visual novel,
mm-hmm.
so you're supposed to be able to sort of follow the mm-hmm. the images, and it kind of tells a story. It's hard to find the story mm-hmm. in it, but there's a lot of repeated images of men in tuxedos, but with like birds' heads having fights. It's beautiful images. It's really nice. I love that.
Kaj pa je za Morgana horror?
I think it's a feeling, or it's an atmosphere, more than anything else. I think it's an atmosphere. So, and it's not a particular type of story or a particular type of plot. It's a feeling, so to me, there are horror films. You know, I mean, I think Polanski made horror films. I think Ingmar Bergman made horror films.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not all of them, but some of them. So it's sort of a wide ranging thing, but also Wes Craven did. So it's a very wide sort of definition.
Mm-hmm.
When I was like about 20, I got this. There was a book that came out that was the BFI Companion to Horror. It's the British mm-hmm. Film Institute.
Mm-hmm.
It's an encyclopedia of horror with all different tropes of horror, conventions, and articles about them, but also artists who've worked in horror. And it was what was really nice about it. It was a very wide range of its definition of horror. It had like Francis Bacon in it. It had Ingmar Bergman. It had Jan Svankmajer in it. It also had, you know, you know, John Carpenter and George Romero and Dario Argento, and it had, you know, slasher movies. But that was really exciting to see a really wide definition of what a horror film could be. So in that definition of horror, I think it fits. But normally, what people think of when they think of horror is they think of, you know, Paranormal Activity or Saw 2 or something. And it doesn't have much in common with that, you know.
Mm.
But it would have more in common with, like, yeah, for example, the early Cronenberg.
Mm-hmm. Like Videodrome.
Videodrome, or The Brood.
Mm-hmm.
David Lynch films, or some of the earlier David Lynch films, or even some of the later ones. There's a particular feeling of uncanniness.
Mm-hmm.
I find it most powerfully, well, it's sometimes in films, but I find it very powerful in certain types of literature, actually.
For example?
There's a whole, I think you call it a subgenre of literature, which is known as weird fiction, as opposed to horror fiction.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I mean, way back in the day, Edgar Allan Poe, H.P. Lovecraft, people like that sort of laid the foundations for it. But there's a whole tradition of writers writing stories that are not overtly horror stories. They're stories that whose aim is to kind of master the uncanny, the feeling of something that is wrong, you know, like something that is a simultaneous familiarity and unfamiliarity that creates this kind of tension. And someone like, there's a writer called Thomas Ligotti. He's kind of probably the best example of that. He's like amazing. He has this. It's kind of a bit like, he creates a similar kind of feeling of Lynch when Lynch is at his best.
Mm.
When he captures that uncanniness, that feeling of just there is something really wrong in this scene, and you can't quite put your finger on it. There's a feeling of uncanniness.
Zakaj pa ima on rad horror?
I think it's a safe way of experiencing terrible things, maybe rehearsing death in a weird sort of way.
Mm.
But my films are so untraditional as horror films; they don't really fit that. So I think maybe there's just a feeling of going into a world. Maybe, I mean, to me, I love just going into a kind of dream logic, sort of nightmarish world, and sitting in there and, you know, experiencing it. That's something I really love doing in films, and experiencing that feeling of strangeness or uncanniness.
V grozljivki je tisto, kar predstavlja izmeček, zombi, vampir, izgnano zato, da so meje človeškega simbolnega sveta zopet vzpostavljene. Pri Morganu pa se zdi, da je proces ravno obraten. Vrednota je postati nekaj ne povsem človeškega, šele takrat se lahko vzpostavi red. Moški lahko sprejme žensko šele takrat, ko ta ni več zgolj človek, ampak je tudi žuželka. Morda je prav biti zgolj človek tisto stanje, ki je zares unheimliche. Naravno stanje ni stanje definiranosti, ampak je stanje nedefiniranosti nekje vmes. To je stanje, ki ga gledalec dojema kot unheimliche in ki ga gledalcu kot takega pomaga dojemati tudi naracija, a ki ga kot takega ne dojemajo tudi liki. Trna kategorija človeškega stanja je torej tista, ki likom povzroča tesnobo, neprehodna kategorija med človekom in živaljo. Stanje, ki ga gledalec dojema kot unheimliche, pa je za like pravzaprav stanje ravnotežja. Kot da je za Morgana šele unheimliche pravzaprav heimliche, da je šele tisto, kar se gledalcu zdi najbolj tuje, šele zares najbolj domačno. Da je unheimliche tisto osnovno, naravno, izhodiščno stanje, kateremu težijo liki, ki kot da se želijo otresti svoje človeškosti in se transformirati. Eksistenca, ki mora izkušati unheimliche, to je samo zavedajoča se, anksiozna eksistenca želi postati živalska eksistenca, ki za unheimliche ostaja nedojemljiva. Pravzaprav je logika tradicionalnega hororja obrnjena. Če je ta mutacija nastopala kot deviacija, kot nenormalnost, je tu navidezna deviacija, mutacija tisto, kar bo zopet vrnilo normalnost, ravnotežje v svet. Unheimliche pa je prepuščen gledalcu. Kako bi Morgan ponoval svoj slog glede na vse telesne spremembe, ki se zgodijo v njegovih stop motionih? Body horror?
So weird things happen to the body all the time as well.
Like metamorphoses?
Yeah, yeah. But as we get older, strange things happen. Your body can become unfamiliar. Mm-hmm. Again, which is uncanny. Like the guy I was talking about, Ligotti, Thomas Ligotti, like his whole philosophy is that like existence itself is uncanny. That we are like, our bodies are strange, reality is strange, and reality is wrong. Mm-hmm. And I suppose, I mean, I've had this feeling before, and I think probably many people have. When have you ever had that situation where you're looking at yourself in the mirror, and for a moment you sort of don't recognize yourself, and you feel like this is a face made of flesh, and it's my face, and I live inside this weird fleshy case, and there are moments when you just feel like just the sensation of being alive is weird. Do you know what I mean? Maybe it's just me. It's a feeling of being separate from it somehow, that this is my... I've had it like a few times in my life where I've been looking... You look at yourself in the mirror and it's like, it's a weird moment.
David Cronenberg ima v svojih filmih podobe telesne transformacije, ki pa tam delujejo kot fizični izrazi psihe, recimo v enem od najljubših Morganovih filmov Zalegi. Tam ženski zraste nekakšna zunanja maternica, ki rojeva otroke brez spolnih organov in brez popkovine, in ti otroci so že v samem filmu razloženi kot fizični izrazi njene jeze. Ona sama to dojema kot normalno, a njen mož tega ne more sprejeti. Telesne deformacije v Cronenbergovem filmskem svetu povzročajo gnus. Likom so neprijetne ravno zaradi tega, ker imajo trne kategorije človeka, ki mu eno od nasproti, na katerem se utemeljuje, predstavlja žival. Takšnega konflikta v pogledih na normalnost pri Morganovih transformacijah nimamo. Njegov svet večinoma naseljujejo nekakšna podčloveška bitja, ki so zelo osnovna in prvobitna, ki ne morajo izkusiti tako zapletenega občutka, kot je Unheimliche. Njihov užitek je povezan z opovedovanjem človeškosti z nečim, kar kot gnusno dejanje namreč najbrž vidi samo gledalec. Kako transformacije doživlja Morgan?
Yeah, no, I've always been very attracted to transformation. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's to do with, I mean, the obvious sort of analogy for life is the fact that our bodies change as we get older, we age. Mm-hmm. But also, when I went through puberty, I really physically transformed a lot because I had this really rare strain of acne. Mm-hmm. And my whole body erupted into this kind of huge mass of, like, you know, the fly.
Yeah.
It was kind of like that. It was just absolutely grotesque.
Or the elephant man.
Yeah. And that's how I felt. It was. So that's got to have something to do with it, you know. I'm really attracted to that. So that too. Because we're always transforming. Mm-hmm. And our bodies are almost, we have no control over. I mean, we do to a point, but there are many things about our bodies that we have no control over. And it's like, In some respect, there is an automatic nature to being alive because, you know, you can't control the bodily functions, you can't control aging, you can't control death. These are all things that we think we're sort of in control of our lives, but we're not really.
Katere transformacije pa so se Morganu zdele gnusne?
So weird things happen to the body all the time as well. But as for, like, you know, the stuff in the films, it doesn't creep... I've never been creeped out by it. It's just, for me, it's very enjoyable, you know, watching transformation. I always loved those David Cronenberg films, because it's the transformations in them are just so... somehow enjoyable or satisfying to see this kind of complete change physical change and turning into something else. So.
V obeh novejših filmih Invocationu in Deeds for the Lost Morgan poskuša Unheimliche vrniti v sam filmski svet, kar je najbrž posledica bolj eksplicitno človeških likov, ki izkušajo grozo, to je uživljenega medvedka, ki ga je pokvečil stop motion in ogromnega ščurka, ki mu je pravo povračilo za rešeno življenje, le življenje samo. Zopet pa so tu bolj trne kategorije, kdo je človek in kdo je žival, kar je mogoče eden od razlogov, da ta filma nista doživela takega uspeha. Doslej je bilo videti, da so najbolj užgali tisti Morganovi filmi, kjer so liki doživljali preobrazbe, kjer niso bili zadovoljni s kožo, v kateri so se znašli. V kateri so se hoteli vrniti v neko prejšnjo stanje, ki so ga imeli za tisto prvobitno rajsko stanje ali pa v neko drugo stanje bivanja. S svojim telesom niso bili zadovoljni ne ljudje in ne živali, biti človek po njegovih filmih ni bila neka kategorija ali vrednota, za katero bi se bivajoče entitete borile. Tako morda izkušamo nek navidezen paradoks. Bolj kot liki v filmskem svetu izkušajo grozo, manj prave groze in tesnobnosti ostane za gledalce. In manj groze, kot izkusijo oni, več je ostane za nas. Če ste zamudili Animateko, imate blazno srečo. Na internetu so namreč prav vsi Morganovi filmi, pa tudi kakšen pogovor z njim se najde. Vse linke dobite tudi na naši spletni strani. V Robertu Morganu je premišljeval Robert Goret, za tehnično realizacijo je poskrbel 359, prebrala pa sem Nina Cvar.
Temna zvezda. Oddaja o filmu in skritih straneh filmskega vesolja. Vsak prvi in tretji ponedeljek v mesecu ob 8:30 zvečer.